Nisan. We're in the month of Nisan. Our rabbis tell us, "B'Nisan Yigalu, u'B'Nisan Atidin Higael." In the month of Nisan, the Jewish people were redeemed, and the Jewish people will be redeemed in the times of the third Beit HaMikdash in the month of Nisan. It's a special time for the Jewish people, a time of renewal, a time where we feel the presence of Hashem, a time where really we feel that not only did historically the Jewish people leave Egypt during this time, but our own Mitzrayim that we're all going through in our own life. Everybody lives in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, of course, was a historical event. But we're all slaves, quote-unquote, in a certain way, to whatever we're going through in life. And life has challenges. Life has those ups and those downs. And now is the time, the month of Nisan, where we have the ability to turn to Hashem and ask Him, Hashem, make it happen for me. Hashem, split the sea for me. Hashem, bring the makot for me. Hashem, split everything for me, because you have that power. The month of Nisan is a time where we could leave and we could become something like Bnei Israel, a free nation, free from every problem that we have. So we have to know how special of a time the month of Nisan is for tefillah and for us to turn to Hashem. We read this week, this past parasha, we read Parashat HaChodesh. Parashat HaChodesh, which marks Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which was on Tuesday. Rosh Chodesh Nisan was on Tuesday. We read HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodashim. This month is going to be the Rosh of the Chodashim, the first of the month, talking about the month of Nisan. First of Nisan is going to be the first of all of the months of the Jewish calendar. We think a lot of times, Rosh Hashanah, Tishrei. But really, the first month that we go through, Tishrei is only for Din. But the rest of the countings, for the Jewish people, we go by the month of Nisan. And this was the first commandment given to the Jewish people. And of all of the commandments in the whole Torah, and of all the Tariag Mitzvot that the Jewish people have, the first thing that Hashem told the Jewish people is, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. This is the first month, and you need to make sure to establish for yourself a Jewish calendar. Jewish calendar, keep track of the months. Now that you're about to leave, I want to hand you the calendar. You need to make sure that every single month you look at the moon. It was also the eclipse, by the way, this week, which is like a whole nother class we can give on it. But I want you to establish for yourself a Jewish calendar and keep track of every single month. Now, rabbis ask, like, out of everything you're giving to the Jewish people, they're about to go 40 years in the desert. They're leaving Mitzrayim. They have a lack of emunah. There's going to be wars when they go to the desert. They're nervous. These are people, the Gemara tells us, they're worshipping Avodah Zarah. They were on the 49th level of Tum'ah. They were all the way down. They weren't people who were these holy people yet, till they got the Har Sinai. Once they got the Har Sinai, the Jewish people were uplifted, and they were lofty, and they were holy. But right now, you're talking about people who were worshipping idols. You're telling me, go make a calendar? Tell me something about having emunah, we're going to Israel, it's going to be a tough journey. Give me a pump-up speech, Hashem. Why are you giving me this mitzvah of the Jewish calendar? And our rabbis answer beautifully. They say, out of everything Hashem could have given to the Jewish people, the most important thing He could have told them was, keep track of your time. The difference between a slave and a free man is the ability to control his time. A slave is told what to do. Wake up at 6 o'clock, go clean the kitchen, go out to the field, pick the corn, come back in, you're going to marry him, you're going to do this. Everything about a slave's life is dictated to him or her exactly what they're going to do with their time. They don't have decision-making ability. That's why our rabbis even tell us they ate matzah when they were in Egypt. If you think about it, what do we say? Halach ma'anya di'achalu abhatana be'arad de'mitzrayim. That's how we start off in the Haggadah. This is the bread of my affliction that my forefathers ate in Egypt. We're talking about in Egypt. They ate it when they left. So we always hear the story. The matzah didn't rise. Our rabbis tell us they even ate matzah while they were slaves, because matzah was quick. You threw it on the fire, boom, it got burned. They didn't have time to allow dough to rise, even when they were slaves. They had to eat a quick lunch, and they stayed full. They didn't have to have multiple meals. They had one matzah meal. You know what it does? Kills you for the rest of the day. And that's all they had to have. They had no time even to allow their bread to rise in Egypt. So a slave's time is totally controlled by the master. Now that the Jewish people are going free, they have the ability to look at the whole day, to look at their schedule, and to say, I could do whatever I want right now. I have the decisions in my life. I can go here, I can go there, I can sleep till 12, I can do whatever I like with my own time. And that decision could be a very dangerous thing as well. It could be scary. Because sometimes when people are given a gift and they're given a choice that they can make, they take a wrong turn. And they use time in a very bad way. They waste time. They waste time. So what is Hashem telling the Jewish people? First thing you do when you leave, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. This month is going to be the first month. And I want you to keep a Jewish calendar. Jewish calendar means time is yours and make good decisions with your time. Make good decisions with your time and uplift time. Time equals holiness. People say in America, time is money. Time is not money. Time is the most important thing in the world. I once had the privilege of going to Rabbi Scheinberg. Rabbi Scheinberg, remember you saw a picture of him. He used to wear a lot of tzitzit. 100 pairs of tzitzit every single day. He was a very skinny rabbi, but you looked at him, picture of him, like he was heavy, looked like he was big, because he had 100 tzitzit under his shirt. And my Rabbi Joey Haber called me. I was 19 years old, I remember. I was 19. I just got back from Israel. And Rabbi Scheinberg came to America. He passed away now. One of the Gedolei Hador, one of the greats of the generation. And he was going to Rabbi Michael Haber's house. He should live and be well. Rabbi Michael Haber's, Rabbi Joey Haber's father. And he was staying there for a week, visiting America. And they needed to have a minyan for Arvit for him. They needed a minyan. Hi, Jack. How are you doing? They needed a minyan. Arvit. He was landing 11 o'clock. Good to see you, Sadiq. Good boy.
He's like,
very good boy. So they needed a minyan for Arvit. He was landing the rabbi 11 o'clock. And they couldn't gather. There's no minyan in town. So Rabbi Joey Haber called me. He said, could you do me a favor? Don't pray Arvit tonight. I have a gift for you. I said, well, Rabbi, what do you have for me? Come to my father's house 11 o'clock. Rabbi Scheinberg was there. There's going to be 10 people. 10 people with one of the greats of the generation. And he said, afterwards, sit and talk to the rabbi if you want. I said, okay, I'm in. I was pumped. I was psyched. I had everything ready to talk to him about. I just got back from Israel for the year. I was 19. So I came to the rabbi, we prayed Arvit, and I'm shaking, I'm nervous. I'm going to a 95-year-old man who's so accomplished, he built the yeshiva. He's one of the only rabbis, born in America, left America, went back to Europe before the Holocaust to learn in the great yeshivot over there, and then moved to Israel eventually. So he was American-born like me, but at the same time, he made major decisions in his life that affected him and changed Klal Yisrael. So I went to him and I said, Rabbi, I'm 19, I just studied for a year in Israel. I don't know anything in Torah. What do I know? But I have one thing I want. I want to become a Talmid Chacham. I'm not there yet, one day. I want to become somebody who knows something. I want to know a little Torah. I have this thirst, I have a desire to know Hashem's Torah. I said, what secret do you have for me, Rabbi? You did it. You're 95, you're looking back at your life a little bit. How did you become the Talmid Chacham that you became? He sat me down in his gentle, soft way. He told me, there's one thing that I realized in my life. One thing. Said, Rabbi, give it to me. Tell me. What's the secret? He said, the most precious commodity in the world, the most precious thing in the world is not silver, it's not gold, it's not money, it's time. It's the fact, it's the one thing in the world that if you spend it, you can't get it back. Money goes up, money goes down, people make money, they lose money, they start a new business. That's life. Life is ups and downs when it comes to gashmiut, when it comes to physicality. But no matter what, no matter who you are, when you spend time, there's no refund. There's no refund. I was like, wow, that's very deep. Like a 19-year-old punk, I was like, Rabbi, that's deep, that's very deep. He's like, yeah, I think it is. It was a very special moment for me. And I think it was one of the messages that I took, and I said, I get it. At 19, I get what I have to do, and I know what I have to spend my time on. A lot of times, we just come to this world, and we waste time, we wake up at 50. What did I do for the first 50 years of my life? And that's the message B'nai Israel was receiving. Uplift your time. Sanctify your time. Make holy your time. Do whatever you can to take this thing that we have, and don't let it be fleeting. Don't let it pass. Do something with it. Experience, do kindness, do chesed, pray, go to classes, do whatever you can to make sure that a lot of your time is filled with avodat Hashem, with a relationship with Hashem. You know, I saw this idea also. I was talking to ninth graders in school. And I think we even have this whole challenge on the next level in this generation. I was talking to them. Do you ever hear of Blockbuster?
Yeah.
No? You never heard of Blockbuster?
The movie place, yeah.
No. Wow. So you don't even know, like, movie place. Yes, yeah. So when I was younger, I sound like an old man, like, you know, when I was younger, like teenager, 14 years old, Saturday night for us would be, you go to Blockbuster, and you rent a movie, a VHS tape, right? I'm only 34, I'm not like old, but 25 years ago, you went with your friends, you went to a store, and you looked at all the different movies you can have. And, oh, I like that movie. Do they have that in stock? How many tapes do they have? Oh, I have a tape. Great. Took it. You paid $7 for it. You brought it home, and then you rewinded the whole tape. You waited. First of all, I mean, it was in Brooklyn, so I had to find parking to get the Blockbuster, find the thing we wanted, find the one movie, pay, leave, rewind it, finally get and sit and watch a movie. And then you had to finish it. You had to return it back to the store. Go back there. That was to watch a movie. Now it is. Boom. Prime. This one. Hulu. Zulu. I don't even know these names anymore. Whatever the other ones are. Netflix. Yeah, you have the ability to just press a button and you're watching a movie. Why am I bringing this up in a Torah class? Because I think Hashem gifted us, in this generation, the next stage in time. You don't have to sit there and drive all the way to Blockbuster to watch a movie. You're watching something on your computer. We used to have to go somewhere when I was younger, which like doesn't really exist anymore, but you go to a store to buy things, right? I'm going to go to the supermarket. I used to go there and buy and bring it home, right? I don't think my wife has been to a supermarket in like 4 years. Between Walmart and this one, she's like Walmart Plus. You ever heard this thing, Walmart Plus?
They put it in your trunk.
It's the craziest thing in the world. No, they come to the house. She makes an order online. 2 hours later, the whole Walmart's in my house. What's going on here? She doesn't even go to the store anymore. Like, the world has changed. The world has adapted where Hashem has handed over to us the gift of technology. The gift of technology, and I'm calling it that on purpose. Every gift Hashem gives us, every chesed He does with us, every good deed He does with us, there's a zeh le'umat zeh that's created. This as opposed to that. The holier something could be, the more mundane it could be. For example, wine. Wine, the Maharal writes very famously, wine could be the most holy object that we have. We take a glass of wine, we have it at every wedding, every milah, every Shabbat table, every holiday table. It's a mitzvah on the holiday of basar vayayin. You have a mitzvah, commandment, enjoy wine and meat. Uplifted wine. At the same time, you see the averot that happened with wine in the Torah. You have Noach with wine. You have Lot with wine, Lot and his daughters. Continuous averot with wine. However potential something has for holiness, at the same time, on the opposite extreme, it has the potential to become mundane. Time is the same thing. The technologies and the advancements that we've received in this day and age. My wife had pink eye last summer. When I had pink eye, you went to the doctor, they had to prescribe you something here. Clicked on a link, telemedicine. Oh, great. I'm sending over a medicine, I'm sending over the prescription to the pharmacy, they'll deliver it to your house in an hour. Like, what a world we live in. So she didn't have to take her whole afternoon, drive to some doctor, look at the eye, we all know it was pink. Medicine's at the house an hour later. She didn't have to do anything. Click the button. The world is advancing. The world is getting to that point where we have an abundance of time. But the test is more powerful, I would say. The test of how you're going to spend your time has been brought to the next level. Because even though we have much more time, it seems to be people are wasting much more time as well. It seems like people are getting lost in the hevel havalim, in the vanity of vanities, in the nothingness of olam hazeh. They're being gifted a gift by Hashem of more time, and they're not understanding what they're being gifted. They're just burning those hours away on, you know, I feel like we keep, like, every rabbi is like talking about this 24/7, but I think it's such an important message of, We're just wasting away our time on phones and on social media and on TikToks and on different apps and on different devices. We're like losing ourselves from reality. We're disconnecting from the existence and the reality that we live in. And I think that's the message of HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. For a few thousand years, for 3,500 years, it worked a certain way. You woke up in the morning, you worked hard, and you went to sleep, and you had to run errands for the rest of your life, of your day. There was no concept of entertainment. You know, 150 years ago, no entertainment. That was the purpose of a holiday. Once every 4 months, you had a day off to like have a meal with your family. Right? Nowadays, there's nothing to do. There's nothing to do. You have the ability to uplift all of your time. You have the ability to spend your time the right way. And I think that's the message of Nisan, of going into Nisan with that mindset of how am I going to take it and how am I going to redeem myself from the Mitzrayim of time? Are we creating a new slavery for ourselves? Are we creating a bondage to the tech and to the world of nothingness? Or are we freeing ourselves from Mitzrayim and saying, okay, I have this fork in the road, I have this challenge. Which direction am I going? Am I going left? Am I going right? Am I taking this gift of Hashem and uplifting it? Or am I just taking it and saying, you know what? I'll waste more time with it. And that's really the challenge that we have to work on. And that's the Bedikat Hametz. The Bedikat Hametz, our rabbis tell us, is the most... We're not even going to get to Pesach tonight. I have a whole Pesach stuff. Maybe we'll do a part two some other time. The rabbis talk about Bedikat Hametz, searching for the Hametz. The search for the Hametz is extremely unique in the Torah. With Hametz, we have to search it out. We have to find it. We have to burn it. We have to do bitul, that means nullify it in our mind. We can't own it. We can't have any benefit from it. It's like we don't treat anything else in the world with the humrot, with the strict laws we do, but the hametz. You can have a pig in your house, no problem. Put it right on the dining room table, pig. Halachically, I mean, nasty, and not something we want to have around, but halachically, you can have it in your house all year long, no problem. The rabbis asked the question, why with hametz are we so wild? Why are we so strict? Why do we go to such extremes with this mitzvah to rid our homes from hametz? And they answer, and they say, hametz symbolizes the Yetzer Hara. Hametz, which is physicality, which is puffed up, which is the ego, right? Hametz is puffed up like the ego. Somebody who's puffed up, they think they're king of the world. They think they're in charge. This time of year, we start to prepare ourselves for Matan Torah. So of course we're leaving Egypt. But the whole Omer period in between is a lead up to finally accepting the Torah into my life. And what do the rabbis tell us? Bedikat Hametz is symbolic of a person doing an inner search of their mind. Just like we search the whole house for Hametz, we search the inner recesses of our brain and our mind and our neshama. Who am I? What am I? What am I doing great? What am I doing not so great? You can't only focus on the negative, God forbid. When a person only focuses on the down, they're doing things problematic too. You have to focus on how much you've accomplished, of how amazing you are, of how special you are, of how much of Bat Yisrael you are, of how much growth you've seen in your own life so far. And at the same time, how can I move to the next level? What can I do better? It's a way of Hashem telling us, get deep with yourself. Have a moment with yourself and think deeply, who am I and what can I do to get to the next stage of my life? And then when I find it, I burn it. I nullify it. I don't have anything to do with it. I work on myself and I commit very strongly that this is going to be the person who I am. And that's why the rabbis tell us the famous line of the Arizal. The Arizal says a line which doesn't really make much sense on the surface level, but when you get deep with it, it's such a beautiful teaching. He says, Kol hanizhar mimashihu hametz b'pesach ena hote kol hashana kula. Somebody who's careful not to have any hametz at all on Pesach is not going to sin the whole year. I mean, every year I don't have hametz. I think I've been pretty good with that. You know, like it's one of the stuff that we're all good with. Nobody violates hametz. So what does the Arizal mean? If somebody's super careful with Hametz, he's not going to sin the whole year long? Rabbi's answer, the Arizal meant, whoever is careful to nullify the Hametz, to nullify the Yetzer Hara that he has during these 7 or 8 days of the holiday of Pesach, if he rids himself of it, of course he's going to go into the following next stage of the year, the spring, the summer, Matan Torah, Shavuot, and he's going to have an uplifted year. He's going to have a year, or she's going to have a year of holiness, of Kedushah, of connection, of relationship with Hashem, because they made sure to work themselves and get rid of the Yetzer Hara. Sometimes we make a mistake. We think that searching the Hametz is only exterior. I got rid of the physical Hametz, but we don't realize what the Hametz symbolizes. The Hametz represents something so much deeper. And that's why we have to actively think about the whole holiday. Many times, rabbis tell us, when we're doing mitzvot, we just go with the flow. We fulfill the chovot ha'evarim, the bodily obligations that have to do with the mitzvot. I searched it, I picked it up, I did. We take care of the halachic obligations physically, but we don't think of the deeper level of what it's supposed to do to my neshama. Everything we do is supposed to change me inside. It's supposed to uplift me, it's supposed to do something to me, it's supposed to change who I am. And says Sayyid Hachamim, when it comes to Bedikat Hametz, don't let it just be a physical act that you do, but let it represent something much deeper in your neshama. And that's what we have to try and think about during this time. Think about how we can get to the next level, how we can grow, and how we can really push away certain things that are holding us back. We'll say a little bit on the... We'll stay pre-Pesach for now. There's a mitzvah, and it even applies to girls. I don't know if you know that, called Birkat Ha'ilanot. Every Nisan, a person is obligated to go out and look at 2 fruit trees that are blooming, that are blossoming, and to go look at the creation of Hashem and to say, Shelo hasar be'olamo kelum. There's a whole beracha that's in the Sidurim. To notice Hashem's creation, and to say, what a pele, what a wonder. That every single year, HaMehadesh B'tubo B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh Bereshit, Hashem is recreating the world. Hashem is recreating the world actively as we live. HaMehadesh B'tubo, with the goodness of Hashem, B'chol Yom Tamid, every single day, Ma'aseh Bereshit. That this tree is a piece of wood that's connected to the ground. It could have been Nisan again, and it just would have been dead. Nothing would have been happening there. And in the genius of Hashem, in the total wisdom that He created the world with, the total chesed, and the it's just total genius again that Hashem created the world, that everything is programmed, that Hashem is pulling the strings behind the scenes. Nisan is here. Okay, now it's time for the things to bud, time for the trees to bloom, and they do, and they bloom, and they go give off beautiful colors and tastes, and feel everything about the trees and the fruits and the leaves that Hashem is giving us during the spring is magical. We're used to it because we see it every year, and that sometimes wears away the effect of what it is. But that's why Chodesh Nisan halacha is you have to go out and find trees. We have in most of the shuls. Does Larchwood have? They have fruit trees in the back? They may have. So West Deal has, Park Avenue has, the shuls have, they planted special trees. Go out there and say the beracha. If I were you, I would say it in English too. Look at the English, understand what he's saying. Shelo chasar be'olamo klum. Nothing is missing from Hashem's world. Nothing is missing from Hashem's world. When you have the ability to admire the painter, of the painting, you start to realize what a genius that painter was. What chokhmah is involved over there. And you start to say, Marabu ma'asecha Hashem, how great are you Hashem? And when you praise the Creator, when you get into that mode of realizing how amazing and how special Hashem is, your whole life has changed, your whole life is uplifted, there's a sense of responsibility that you start to feel. Because if somebody's doing so much good for you, if somebody's taking care of you, somebody's watching every need that you have, you start to think how much of responsibility I now have to them. Because you're in a relationship with Hashem. You're in a back and forth relationship with Him. He's doing for you. He's doing everything for you. Now what are we doing for Him? How are we showing Him our commitment to this relationship? How are we showing Hashem that we care? How are we showing Hashem that we admire Him and we care about Him and we think He's doing everything for us? And that's what it's about. going out in Nisan and noticing the goodness from Hashem. And that's really the way you have the ability to nullify your Yetzer Hara with gratitude and with appreciation and with that deep understanding that I owe Hashem so much because He's provided me with so much. That uplifts you and gives you the ability to serve correctly. And that's what we do with the Halach Ma'anya. I'll say one piece on the Haggadah. If you think about it, I started off before Halach Ma'anya talking about the matzah. The Achalu Abhatana Barad Mitzrayim that our forefathers ate in Egypt. We have a line right there that we say that's very strange when you start to think about it. Kol Dichfin, anyone remember it? Kol Dichfin Yeteh VeYichul. Right. What's called dichbin yetevi yichul mean? Anybody who's hungry, come and eat. Right? Anyone who's hungry, come and join us for the meal. So the rabbis all asked many questions on this. Now's the time to invite guests over. It's post kiddush. You already drank the first cup. You did the urhas. You did the karpas. You're starting magid, middle of the seder. Oh, if anybody wants to come join our meal, fadal. What? Now's the time? Do it before, call somebody up. In shul, you see somebody, come join us for the seder. Now's the time to say, kol dechfin yetev yichul. So our rabbis say, this is not an invitation. We're not really inviting people over at this point in time. What are we doing? We're starting off magid by saying, halach ma'anya di'achalu abhatanan ba'arad mitzrayim. This is the bread of my affliction. The matzah, we point to it. This bread, matzah, this is where we were from. We were poor people. We had nothing. We were slaves. We were all lowly people. This is who my ancestors come from, in Mitzrayim. Now, who am I? Kol dichvin yetevi yichul. I'm a person who can invite anybody over to my house. I have a beautiful spread. I have a seder table. I have meat. I have wine. I'm royalty tonight. I have the ability to invite anybody over to my house. We're not actively inviting, but we're expressing the ability to invite anybody to our house. And what are we trying to show our family? Gratitude. We've all had journeys. We've all had lows, and we've gotten to highs. Pesach night is about marking those highs. It's about looking at the journey and how far we've come in our own lives. That expresses itself in multiple ways. Number one, gratitude to self. Notice your, like I said before, notice your own growth. Notice where you came from. You came from somewhere, of course you were all always special, but you came from somewhere lower than you were now, and you've grown to be a Bat Israel, the daughter of the king, Bat HaMelech, who's writing Torah notes, and sitting listening to a class, and preparing for the holy times with Hashem. That's who you've become. So gratitude to self. Notice your own growth. When you're proud of yourself, when you give yourself a pat on the back, when you start to be super, super appreciative of who you've become, you have the ability to get to the next step in your life. So gratitude to self. Number one, how far I've grown. Number two, gratitude to those around you. Gratitude to those around you. If you don't have that hakarat hatov, if you don't have that ability to recognize the good, you're missing a huge chunk of who you are as a person. The midot are shaped by recognizing somebody did good to me. I have to recognize that good and I have to reciprocate. I have to do good back to them. They're so good to me. How can I not be back good to them? And that's with parents. That's with parents who've done so much and have cried so many tears in their tefillot for you to get you to this place. You're all amazing, but you have amazing people behind you who've helped you get to this point in time. Appreciation. Thank your parents. You know, how many times have you told your mother and your father you love them? Maybe it's like more with boys, they don't say that. Girls, maybe a little more. But a lot of times, the people we're closest to don't know what we're really feeling about them. And it's a big shame. The people we feel love for, the people we feel closeness to, the people who we're so appreciative for everything they do for us, sometimes we don't feel like we could say it to them. For whatever reason, psychologically, we do that. Father who wakes up in the morning and goes to work and is helping with this and doing whatever he can to put food on the table. How lucky we are to have people in our lives like that. A mother who's by the Shabbat candles from when you're a baby, crying to Hashem. Hashem, make my daughter someone who I'm proud of. Make her somebody who follows in our way, in our tradition. Make her somebody with good meat. And it's happening. It's happening. So show gratitude to those people in your life who've given you this privilege of being who you are. And then number three, like we said, with Birkat HaIlanot, gratitude to Hashem. Gratitude to Hashem. Hashem. En milim. En anachu maspikim lehodot lecha, like we say in the Nishmat. I'll never finish talking. There's not enough we can ever say to show you and to express what we feel for you, Hashem. Lehodot, lehalel, leshaveach, lefael, like we say, lel haseder. Ki chope lecha yodeh, vechol lashon lecha teshaveach, vechol ayin lecha tespeh. This prayer of Nishmat, if you don't know the Nishmat tefillah well, it's the most moving tefillah in the world. Such a special, uplifting tefillah. Try and understand, because we say Nishmat, and we said that also. It's all about gratitude. Thank you, Hashem. I can never say it enough to you. And when you start to express those feelings of appreciation and gratitude, you become the person who now wants to get to that next level in every way of your life. With family, with yourself, with Hashem. If you start to do that during Leil HaSeder, you'll see yourself get to the next step. And you'll do it again next year. Life is a journey. Life is about growth. Life is about continuous growth. Just like the trees, Birkat HaIlanot, reset every single year and continue to grow and continue to go and keep on going. We're all that person. We're all those individuals. Ki ha'adam etz ha'sadeh. Like we said on Tu B'Shvat, I think we had a class on Tu B'Shvat. Man is like a tree of the field, and we're continuing to grow. A woman is like a tree of the field, always going to grow like a tree. And that's the idea. Bezrat Hashem, we take these messages, we go into this special month of Nisan, like we started off by saying, B'Nisan Nigalu, U'B'Nisan Atidin Nigael. In the month of Nisan we will redeem, and Bezrat Hashem, we'll see the redemption from such a hard time that our people are going through right now in Israel, and we'll see the full redemption. B'Yemenah B'Yameinu, Amen.